Thanks for listening to Reasonable Doubt on Podcast One.
Corolla Drinks fans, 818 Rye Whiskey is available now at CorollaDrinks.com. 818 is a whiskey from Adam's backyard, not the gated communities in the same area code. It's aged 3 years in new American oak and couples a malty sweetness with a complex rye finish. Adam and the team made this whiskey for fans of the show. They made this whiskey for the regulars. Get your bottle of 818 Rye at CorollaDrinks.com. Hurry, we will sell out.
Well, in this episode of Reasonable Doubt, we'll get into the homeless situation in Venice Beach. We'll get into the California travel ban. We will get into qualified immunity and much more. A little bit of Trump legal stuff as well. First, I'll tell you about Geico. Do you own? Do you rent your home? Well, you do one or the other, right? And then there is your automotive policy. You need to go to Geico. Geico is going to make it easy to take your automotive policy and bundle it up with your homeowner's or your renter's insurance. It's a good thing, too, because you already have so much to do around your house. So what do? You go to geico.com, you get a quote, and you see just how much you could save. It is that easy when you go to Geico. That is geico.com.
This is Corolla Digital. This is Reasonable Doubt with your hosts, Mark Garagus and Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get on. No choice but get on. Mandate, get it on and welcome to the best hour or so in the universe. It's Reasonable Doubt. I'm Adam Carolla. That's Mark Garagus in his home office preparing for a big wedding day.
Well, you know, it's technically, it's kind of the, I had the Indian wedding in Utah, and then the bookend is the Armenian wedding in La Cañada. So we've affectionately called it the 8 days of Tenny.
Let's drill down on the Armenian culture as it pertains to weddings.
Yes.
The registry's been cleared out. It's been decimated. It looks like a...
And you admitted I was right last week, yes, and I appreciate the fact that you that you admit... I'm going to see if I can put some light on this.
Subject. Yes. It essentially, Tenney's wedding registry looks like a Radio Shack in Ferguson 4 years ago. It's been looted. There's nothing left but a couple of cassette-to-cassette players, you know, where you can dub an old cassette onto the new set. There's nothing there. So now we get into, now we're in a different present realm. Is it booze? Is it cash? Is it checks? How do the armos roll? I mean,
well, I have a buddy of mine. This is really kind of a throwdown on you, Adam, because the buddy of mine has offered her as a present because he, like you, had his significant other go onto the registry and saw that it was kind of, there was a paucity. He offered her a week or 2 weeks at one of his properties around the world. And so that was quite a present. So I was thinking maybe you'd offer her a ride in the Paul Newman Porsche.
Or maybe her groom.
Maybe
I can just find another property that your buddy owns and offer that up. Can you talk to your buddy? She can't be in Aspen and in Vail at the same time. All right, so something like that. This is a sensitive question, but would cash be safe? Do you know what I mean?
Is it? You're asking that an armo that question?
No, I'm not. No, I know she wants cash. I mean, is it safe on the table? You know what I mean? There's a lot of armos rolling around there.
Usually the cash ends up on the floor because, you know, the armos come with fistfuls of cash and they do a dance and then they throw the money at you. And then some guy comes. You have one of the guys come by with a big push broom and sweep up the cash.
Oh, okay.
Which, by the way, was probably the breaking point of my sister-in-law, my brother, and my relationship, because I thought that they should do that, and I don't think that they wanted to. And I have no memory, though, if Paulette did it or not. I don't think she did for ours.
Well, I will do that, but I don't want to be the only one doing that on the first dance. If others have agreed to that ceremony, then I would participate, you know, but I don't want to be.
So you'll bring bundles of cash to throw at the first dance and not the father-daughter dance.
No, right. Understood. Right. Yeah. Okay. And probably bundle singular. I don't think bundles.
One bundle.
Yes.
Okay.
All right. Well, I'll try to figure something out because again, I'm just asking about tradition. And in the now, this never works. But amongst the Anglos, I think you have 1 year.
You call them Anglos. I call them Odars.
The Odars, there's a 1 year grace period. But I feel like if you don't get in the first 2 days, you're never going to see that crock pot again. Is it? The Armos have the 1 year grace period?
Yeah, I think they do. The number or the amount of for a guy who studies statutes and case law and interpretations, the amount of knowledge I have in this area is very limited.
Probably for the best.
I think it's because I know I could never kind of get to the point of a Paulette or Poe inspired knowledge here, so I just give up. You know what I mean?
What is your relationship with the guys who are now showing up and they're setting up tents and they're putting up tables and all that? Do you venture outside? Because if you do, you're going to be bothered, right?
Yeah, and I do, and I am bothered. It's funny, as I know you, you know me. I was very bothered yesterday. Very bothered. I could not have been more bothered, as there were structures in one spot. There was a security team in the other spot. There was guys laying down something or other in another spot. It was about as aggravating as one could get.
Yes.
Smack dab in the middle of this, as we're doing this, we're doing it early, is Jake's birthday, and nobody really cares about Jake's birthday. I mean, it's just like, it's the midway point from the 8 days of 10, and nobody cares about Jake.
Do you go out and do some micromanaging, or you just close the curtains to the office and have a shot at Don Julio?
I've tried to be very zen about this, and but the micromanager comes out, and every time I get swatted down, it's a brutal takedown. it's just like, don't even start, get out of here. Be careful what you, I mean, it's just, it's brutal. And have you seen, there's a buddy of mine sent over a video of Mike Leach. Did I talk to you about this?
No.
Mike Leach, who I think is now the football coach for the Cougars or Washington?
Sounds familiar.
And he does
Mississippi State.
Do you have a Gary? If you pull that up for a second, it's a very interesting kind of take on Father of the Bride. I mean, people talk about the Steve Martin movie. I've avoided that, rewatching it until after all of this because I don't want to get myself worked up. But this was sent to me, and I don't know, I hate doing this to Gary, and I do it all the time, but what the heck. There's some good vignettes in this Leach video that have kind of given me some solace.
All right, we'll see it.
Well, it's too late to rescue you. The best wisdom that I can possibly give, wisdom I can possibly give on that subject, 9 days, and it's a little late. You should have come to me sooner. My wisdom would be you have to stay out of the way. Now, and I wish you a very happy marriage, and I'm sure you'll have one. But I'm just telling you, when it comes to marriages, the women lose their mind. Your fiancé is going to lose her mind. Your mother-in-law is going to lose her mind. Your mom is going to lose her mind. Several of your sisters and female relatives are going to lose their mind, and that they're going to barrage you with constant questions. What should we wear? And then, which of course my answer was, I don't care. And then, what color should the invitations be? I don't care. What should we have for dessert? I don't care. Should we seat this way or that way? I don't care. But see, I don't care is not satisfactory at all. And you're going to get caught in a catch-22, and I'm certain that you already have. And that catch-22 is, well, I want you to be a part of this too. So what color invitations? All right, the blue ones. Well, I kind of like the tan ones. Okay, the tan ones then. Oh, you're just saying that because you want this over with. You're not even thinking about it, which is, of course, true. And then, what do you want for dessert? I was thinking of strawberry shortcake. Oh, okay. Yeah, strawberry shortcake would be good. Well, what about the blueberry pie? Well, I like the blueberry pie. We could have the blueberry pie. Well, I thought you said you wanted the strawberry shortcake. And it's just going to go back and forth, and they're going to play keep away from you until after you're married. So what you need to do is you need to work late hours, work late, be very nice and supportive, and but they're going to play keep away from you, and there's no answer you can give that is going to be satisfactory or correct. And if you successfully please a few of them, the others will still be, oh, well, I just don't feel like he's that interested. Yeah, okay, so you need to work late, go in the back room and read a lot of books. You have to go take the groomsmen out, so you make sure that they march in just right and they know exactly, you know, these swell outfits that you picked out or whatever, however you're doing it. And in the end, you'll wish you eloped. But nevertheless, you need to find excuses that they'll buy to be as far out of harm's way as you possibly can. And but take comfort in knowing that once the ceremony's over, life will get progressively better from there, even though there's some adjustment.
that's an awful lot of wisdom in 3 minutes and 15 seconds.
I would love him to coach my son off the field. He the original question, which was cut off, was are the Cougars going to run the 4-4 defense this year or 3-4 defense? But he just went right into this wedding thing. So
he just went into the wedding. And there people, I think, underestimate the amount of wisdom a good coach has towards life.
You gotta have that. Yeah, you're shaping the minds of young men. All right, what stories are you thinking of, Mark? I'll tell you what. Let me tease that out. Let me hit a spot here. First, Roman. Yeah, squeaky doors, clogged sinks, finicky engines. When things break, you take care of them. But what about when something's wrong or off in the bedroom? Well, then you tend not to think about it. Go to GetRoman.com/doubt now for a free online evaluation and ongoing care for ED from the comfort and privacy of your own home. A U.S. licensed healthcare professional will work with you to find the best treatment plan if medication is appropriate. It's sent to you with free 2-day shipping. Get started. And it's easy to get started. It's simple. Just go to GetRoman.com/doubt and complete an online visit. Take care of your ED without leaving your home. It's Get Roman, right, Gary?
That's right. Go to GetRoman.com/doubt now, and you'll get $15 off your first month. It's really time to take care of your ED. And remember, get started today, and you'll save $15 on your first order of ED treatment. Go to GetRoman.com/doubt. Right now, and you'll get $15 off your first order.
All right. So cases you're thinking about.
Well, there's a potpourri of stuff that I'm thinking about. One is, as we're taping this, it's early in the week, and things could change, and so maybe we'll table it and wait and see what happens. There, Ron Fischetti, who is Trump's lawyer, the Trump Organization lawyer, or maybe both, has been teasing, if you will, that charges are imminent from the Manhattan DA's office against the Trump Organization and not against Donald Trump. So we'll see. And if that happens, obviously, we'll do a breaking news. One of the ones that's kind of interesting, too, is the U.S. Supreme Court, as we're taping this, came down with what's called a per curiam decision this week on a case where they decided there was a guy who tried to obviously had a issues or challenges, tried to kill himself, and the cops came in and hogtied him, ended up killing him. Then the question was, it was out of the Eighth Circuit and the U.S. Supreme Court, rather than deal with the issues. And I think the dissent, Alito, said, why are we sending it back to the Eighth Circuit? Why don't we just do to quote him, the hard work of dealing with qualified immunity? They kind of punted it. So I've been expecting, as you know, Adam, for a while, that the Supreme Court eventually was going to deal with this problem of qualified immunity, and they had a chance, but didn't do it in this case. The other one that's kind of interesting me.
Well, can we just drill down just for a second on qualified immunity? Yeah. I think you're for qualified immunity or against qualified immunity for police officers. And then the detractors would say, this is going to decimate the police force. You're not going to get people to show up. I mean, they're already having difficulties with recruitment and early retirements. What do you say to those people?
Well, I hear that all the time. I think we put police officers in a horrific situation. I think we ask them to do things that they have no business doing. I mean, my father used to say, if they weren't a police officer, they could be a truck driver, or they would be a truck driver. When you think about the fact that I always go back or default to LA County. You have people who go through a limited amount of training at the academy. It's whether it's Rio Hondo or if it's LAPD, they go up there at that place that used to have a great restaurant, may still haven't been there. And then after, multi-week training, especially for the sheriff, you put the newbie into the county jail, which is a hellhole. And then you unleash them on the streets three years later, and you expect them to somehow deal with these problems, these intractable problems. So my feeling on qualified immunity is the people who, and it may force the Senate at some point. I know Tim Scott has got people that he's trying to get bring together to get it changed. It's a judicially created doctrine, meaning the courts invented it. It was not by statute, and they invented it some 50 or 60 years ago. And if you wanted to solve this problem, and if the Democrats wanted to stop shooting themselves in the head, they would stop talking about defund police, and you would stop talking about qualified immunity is going to make it harder to recruit. And you would say, let police officers do what law enforcement should do, which is protect people and protect the community, and let other people deal with whether it's mental health or addiction or things like that. Why we've injected law enforcement into that, to me, makes no sense, which then segues exactly into something that I've been talking about all morning with a group of people, this Venice Beach boardwalk situation.
Yeah, just to be clear, physicians have their own insurance, right? They have like malpractice insurance.
Malpractice insurance.
Maybe attorneys do, or dentists.
Attorneys clearly do. The physicians, the physicians lobby got, back in the 70s, got what's called a microcap, and which is outrageous, but they got a cap that says no more than basically $250,000. So
right. All right. So basically the thought is cops would just basically have to do the same thing as other professionals who are involved with the outcomes of people's lives. If you work at the Trader Joe's and some guy gets a bad batch of cucumbers, it's not really life or death. But if you're a cop and you have a gun, and if you're a physician and a surgeon and you're opening somebody up, well, then you need to have your own insurance for that. And then
and I don't know why the unions are, police unions are strong enough and they certainly have enough swag. Why can't they just negotiate insurance and let the insurance companies deal with it, since the insurance companies control the world anyway? So why I don't understand it when they And if you read the case law on this judicially created idea of qualified immunity, I rarely agree with some of Alito's opinions, but his dissent on the per curiam, I believe it's a dissent that I just read this morning, is brilliant about talking about the kind of twists and turns that they go through to not deal with the issues. And that's the nonsense of this.
But is it a slippery slope? Because then once cops, and I don't necessarily think this is a bad thing, but once cops give up the qualified immunity, do we move on to senators?
Well, you know what? I don't think that's a bad thing at all.
Now, I'm not saying it is, but I'm just saying, we're going to keep going, right?
Yeah, I'm right. I think that...
Or judges?
Judges have immunity. I mean, there's that another judicially created Morales versus Waco, which is a U.S. Supreme Court case with Judge Morales, Ray Morales, who came out of L.A., and Howard Waco, who was a public defender, went all the way to the U.S. Supreme Court. And he was the one who ordered a bailiff to go find Howard Waco, who was a public defender, and bring him to his courtroom and said, drag him in here. And Howard ended up suing him and went to the U.S. Supreme Court. I don't understand why there are certain segments. We've talked endlessly about prosecutorial immunity. Why is there prosecutorial immunity? Why is it that certain professionals, we say, get immunity and others don't? Why should cops right now, cops are... it's easier to sue a cop than it is a prosecutor, and the prosecutor's got more power than the cops ever do.
All right. So would you say let's get rid of qualified immunity for everyone but the president?
I think the president should have immunity during his term of office. But for acts before, it's clear cut. It's already the law. No. I mean, that was Clinton versus Jones. And for after, we're going to have that tested.
Okay, so let's talk about what's going on in Venice Beach.
Well, so it's interesting that we were talking about that. We've now injected, somebody just sent me a video, I may send it to Gary, if I can get permission to use it, of a female officer on the boardwalk. Somebody had taken a video of her, and she was, and they were getting mad that one of the people down there at the boardwalk was trying to clear the boardwalk so people could actually walk, public thoroughfare. And the cop was threatening the person, the one who has the bag, as Adam would say, as mm-hmm. opposed to the empty bag, you can't touch the tent. And the person who's filming says, why can't I touch the tent? Because your councilman, Bonin, has said that we're not to do anything. LAPD is not to do anything here on the boardwalk and let the tents stay there. I listened this morning to a tale of stories from people who are down there on the boardwalk. And it's like people who are on the front lines of a war. And they are so frustrated because, like what I've seen in downtown LA, except this is on crack, literally, or meth, they are dealing with a situation where this is not a housing situation. There is housing. They do not want to be housed for the most part. I'm not saying everybody, but for the most part. These are people who are doing meth. And I heard the stories from not just business owners. One of the people who got pushed to the pavement by somebody who was cracked out of their head. We're talking about people in the throes of addiction, people who are out there partying all night and then lighting houses on fire, pushing people down, getting stabbed. I'll give you another example. I have a guy, we had to go get a restraining order downtown on this guy. We couldn't find out his name. He was coming and hassling one of the hostesses downtown at the restaurant. We went in, we got a restraining order against him, even though the Superior Court judge didn't want to do it. Oh my God, do you have his medical records? No, we don't have his medical records. He's standing out front smoking meth. He went Yeah, I mean, can you believe a Superior Court judge with a straight face saying you have his this guy is in the throes of complete mental disorder? Do you have his medical records? Guess what happened? The poor woman who worked for us quit because the restraining order would not be enforced by LAPD. We went, we got the restraining order. LAPD wouldn't enforce it. So the guy followed this woman who quit, somehow finds out that she's out in Santa Monica or Venice. Guess what? He just got arrested because he killed somebody over in Santa Monica or Venice. Literally within a week of us getting the restraining order. Jesus. I feel like going back to the Superior Court judge and saying, you know, how about now? Do you want his, now we can get his, medical records and his mental health records. It is insanity what is happening.
Is it Bonin? Is it the DA? Is it the mayor? You know, is it the city council? Is it all the above?
I asked that. It's so funny you asked that. That was the exact question I went through. And I'm talking about a wide variety of people. I was not talking to just property owners. I was talking to people who are renters. I talked to people who are, I'm one person formerly unhoused, who was living in that kind of tent encampment. Every single one of them said, number one, Garcetti has completely checked out, ghosted. They just will not engage. Done. Completely done. The Department of Sanitation, who you would think would be dealing with this, completely MIA. Bonin does this dance, but now he's very upset with the sheriff because the sheriff finally has said, enough is enough. I'm not going to allow this. I'm going to go down, even though this is properly the LAPD jurisdiction. And he's been requesting a state of emergency. I mean, talk about strange bedfellows. Bonin is, I don't even know what to say. I mean, this one of the people I thought captured, he said he's more worried about the ideology than he is about public safety. So you drill down on that.
Well, you know, we're talking about the empty bags versus the taxpayers. I was driving down PCH in the same area we're speaking about. People are listening around the country, probably in Bonin's area. And on the electronic sign that's there right before PCH turns into the 10, it was a big, big sign that said, no 4th of July fireworks, illegal, and mask up. So that's meant for me because I pay taxes. Those are the rules for the taxpayers. If you would like to get in your underpants and swing a machete around down on the boardwalk, that'll be your business. While high on meth, that's your business as a citizen. You know, you're untouchable. But if you want to light a sparkler off on the goddamn beach on the 4th of July, you shall be put in zip ties. Those are the rules. And my argument for the last decade is societies don't work that way. You cannot work that way.
I've really kind of struggled with the solution here. I mean, there's a federal judge on the Alliance for out of downtown LA, who David Carter, who has just, he's kind of like speaking of machetes, he's kind of wielded a judicial machete through the bullshit that is the county, the city, and all of these various, somebody called it this morning, I thought it was great, the homeless industrial complex.
Right.
And now, unfortunately, all of his orders are up in the Ninth Circuit and they're languishing there, and hopefully somebody will come to their senses. But I'm thinking, my current thinking, and I'd love to hear yours. There was a Ninth Circuit case which said the anti-camping ordinance is unconstitutional if you don't have sufficient housing to offer. Okay. So one of the ways to deal with these kinds of encampments that become out of control in terms of violence and everything else is to cite them for anti-camping or something of that nature. I'm wondering, if that isn't just a ruse and kind of a red herring, because it seems to me, if you have public property, and this is obviously public property there at the boardwalk, and the 4th of July coming up, and people want to use the beach, and the beach is a public zone, and God forbid if you try to build something on the beach or try to redo your house on the beach, you know, you've got coastal commissions and everything else. I'm wondering if there isn't some kind of a why they are not enforcing, or why, you know, if we can declare emergency powers for, or the governor can declare it for COVID, why isn't there an emergency power that is being invoked right now for this area? Why isn't this an emergency? And why can't you take, I'd like to say extraordinary steps, but why can't you take the normal steps? Why can't you do what was done in, I believe it was Echo Park, wasn't it, Gary? Where they went in and... Yeah.
Well, maybe it's time to get FEMA involved. I mean, you know, what's the difference? In a sense, it's a natural disaster. It's unfortunately, it's natural in what humans do if they are beaked out of their brains on drugs and don't want to rehabilitate and don't want to get counseling and don't want to rehab and refuse shelter. It's as natural a disaster as a hurricane or a tsunami. It's a human natural disaster, and it's complete with all the debris and all the stuff. I mean, if you cleared all the people out of these homeless places, it would look like a tsunami just came in and tore up a bunch of plywood and junk and, you know, just kids' toys and gardening materials and stuff and just strewn them about. I mean, it's essentially getting to the point where FEMA has to get involved. It's like call the natural disaster, get the feds involved, and come in and clean it up.
Right. I don't get it. I'm the in New York, if somebody puts trash on Fifth Avenue, a bag of trash on Fifth Avenue on the sidewalk, not me, but just anybody. If the trash is put in front of the sidewalk in front of a building you own, you get cited as the property owner.
Right.
So you have to take affirmative action. Here, if you took affirmative action, they would cite you. There, you have to take affirmative action. At a certain point, somebody's going to have to say, and that's why it was so educational for me just listening to these people who are in the midst of it. I'm talking single women with children. I'm talking people who got pushed, elderly people who got pushed to the pavement and their heads cracked open by somebody. At a certain point, if society, if we've decided that our ideology, if Councilman Bonin has decided his ideology is such that public safety is no longer his mission and that the property owner no longer has a right to their property. You know, we could read John Locke, we could read philosophers all day long. But if that's your ideology and your philosophy, then it's hard at the same time to say, okay, but you've got to also be taxed. You've also got to comply. You also have to get licensed. You know, there's a bunch of these establishments that I talk to, and people who own them are there on the sidewalk, have expended. I mean, there's one person who's expended over $100,000 in security cameras because of what's happening down there. I don't understand how this model does not, to me, seem to have any kind of legs to it.
Yeah, it's interesting in that they're not results oriented. I mean, anybody with an eyeball can just see that things get progressively worse. So it's time to change course. Also, it seems weird politically, which is none of these urchins on the street are voting. This is not your constituency. The people that vote are the store owners and the restaurateurs who are having their front doors blocked by garbage. Why is this even a smart political choice?
I don't understand that either. And by the way, the restaurateurs, rightfully so, are scared out of their mind that they're going to be retaliated against or have, you know, the ABC or have somebody, you know, erect a fence around their place. Or if they erect a fence, then they'll get cited for doing that. It's really kind of an insanity itself. And I don't I wish Bonin had would get on here and try to explain what is it that you think you're doing here? What is the end game for destroying this place? And why is it that the public is so frustrated with you at your own district?
Well, speaking of California, I'll tease this one. I think something that Mark wanted to talk about was California just banned, I guess, California state employees for yes. traveling at California expense. I think they can do it at their own right. expense. We had a couple of no-fly zones.
It's a total of 17 states now. They added four more this week.
Florida's been added. All right, let me you can tell me what you think of the wisdom of that. First, let me tell you about GEICO. Do you own, do you rent your home? Well, sure you do, and you work hard. So how about you get your bundle going with your automotive policy? It's a good thing, too, because you already have so much to do around the house. You go to GEICO.com, you get a quote, you see just how much you could save when you bundle your homeowner's or your renter's policy with your automotive policy. It's GEICO easy, so just go to GEICO.com and get your bundle on today. Yeah, California, it's not enough that we've ruined California. We must then essentially infect the rest of the nation with whatever insane policies we've decided on here in California. So they've have travel bans, which essentially says that state employees who may have some business in Florida must go on their own dime. Now, for instance, I'll give you an example. Let's say one just popped into my mind. They had that huge condominium collapse over there. We got plenty of high-rise condominiums here in California. We're in earthquake country. Maybe a small team of engineers, builders, or contractors would like to go over there and examine things and see what went wrong structurally and that, and then possibly apply that to some buildings in California. But if they wanted to do that, they're going to have to buy their own plane tickets and pay for their own hotels.
Yeah, I was going to first ask you a more specific question. I read the 2018 report, speaking of that building, one in Surfside. And in my understanding, and this, I wanted to get your expertise on it. My understanding is what they're saying now is the 2018 report says that the slab underneath the pool deck was level as opposed to sloped. Mm-hmm. And because it was level, water pooled, and that the pooling of the water had a domino effect with the structural steel, which then corroded and then expanded the cement. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah, so it's a pitch is a big deal. You must pitch things. Decks must be pitched and slabs must be pitched like away from the structure. I don't know, quarter inch, a foot or some. There's a code for it. It probably varies from state to state. But, you know, if you're pouring a patio or you're building a deck, you need it pitched so that the water doesn't sit, because when the water sits, you know, cement is not waterproof, neither is stucco, by the way. Like it's cement, the water or concrete in this case. Concrete is just cement with aggregate in it, but it does get penetrated and it has rebar in it, but the rebar is just steel. It will rust out. And I guess if the water penetrates and gets to the steel, that's bad. And also, it always starts with the foundation. You know, here, you know, we have earthquakes, but it's always everything is all earthquakes do is affect cement and concrete. You know, when we have an earthquake here in California, you'll see a parking structure that was built in Northridge that's all built out of concrete. That'll pancake, or the freeway, or the 10 freeway overpass will pancake. The home that was built in Pasadena in 1914, the Craftsman home, that's still right there. It doesn't. And by the way, there's no plywood in that home, and there's no straps, and there's no joist hangers,
no
or teak clips.
Laughing plaster.
There's nothing. It's just redwood siding and toenailing studs into bottom plates. Like, there's literally nothing. But wood and steel is not affected. Now, the only thing you will see affected in that old Craftsman house in Pasadena is the chimney will fall over. So earthquakes and these kinds of movements, they really just affect masonry. They do not affect steel, and they do not affect wood or, you know, traditional construction. That's why it's always insane to me when somebody lives in a, you know, two-story apartment building in Van Nuys and they're worried about the earthquake. It's all wood. It's all frame. There's nothing. You know, you really have to do. I have demoed so many of those buildings, and you realize how hard it is to take apart a wall that's sheared off with plywood and, you know, nailed with a nailing schedule and then stuccoed over. It's nearly impossible to tear those walls apart. You just fight them and fight them and fight them.
Why is that? Is that because of the, I mean, what's the explanation for that? And why? Because you think of, as a layperson, you think of the cement and steel structure as being such a stronger or more resilient.
It's really just sort of the same principles that apply to, you know, when you go to Costco and you get the two scissor set and it's in that weird plastic thing and you're arguing with it and you're fighting with it and you're tearing, it just flexes every pull. It just pulls the other direction, you know, versus a piece of matzah. It just snaps. You know what I mean? It's just the sway, the bend, the give. That's all fine. Concrete, if you think about it, it's hard as rock, literally, but until it's not, you know what I mean? There's no give in it. Once it starts, it just keeps going.
So what happens here? So the water permeates to the steel. The steel starts to rust or corrode, and then that's kind of the vertebrae. And once the vertebrae is gone, that's why you get the pancake?
Yeah. So we have, like, if you see here, if you look at the freeway overpasses, like if they're building a freeway overpass in California, you see so much rebar in those overpasses. I mean, they have, you know, grade beams and pilasters and everything. You just see those huge cages going down. Like, if you ever see them building right. You ever see them building down on PCH, some big place on the coast or whatever, you see the caisson rig come in. That's the huge drill, and that just drills a huge hole in the earth. And, you know, they get a geo report or soils report, and they want you X amount into bedrock, for instance. You know, so you got to get X amount. Then once they do that, they drop a huge cage, a huge round rebar cage into that, and then they pour it with concrete after that. If the rebar is compromised, the concrete really, the masonry in and of itself doesn't have much, if any, strength to it. It would be sort of like fiberglass without the fiber. You know what I mean? That's what holds it together, or Kevlar with the resin but without the cloth. You know what I mean? So the rebar acts that way, and I guess if the rebar gets compromised, then the concrete is brittle.
Wow, there's just, and all of that, arguably, if it turns out, was because the pitch was wrong on the slab. Which is just mind-boggling to me that could be the start of the parade of horribles that was this unbelievable pancaking of the building.
Yeah, you want to live in a steel or wood structure or both. But be all that as it may, sorry.
Can I ask a legal question about that story, Mark?
Sure.
So I saw it come out earlier this week that in April, the president of the condos homeowners association presented to the members that there were massive problems with the building and encouraged them to spend $15 million to fix them. Now, I didn't see what the outcome of that vote was, but does that the fact that that information was provided change the legal ground on which the victims are sitting?
Well, I don't. I would have to dive into, number one, the, you know, who was giving notice, who was doing the report, what they did based upon that. I mean, there are the insurance companies, I guarantee you, there's got to be a tower of insurance there. And the insurance companies are all over this thing right now because they know that there's massive liability that's going to be there. The Homeowners Association and the directors have got their own insurance coverage, presumably. And you're going to see a feeding frenzy of legal actions surrounding this. What they're going to do first is they're going to take, just like with an airplane crash, they're going to remove all, once they finish the search for any survivors, they're going to remove that stuff off site. And somebody's going to try and reconstruct, or many people are going to try and, many different agencies, try and reconstruct what happened here. Because it's the monumental number of failures around this are, I don't even know where to begin. I mean, there was speculation that it was the building next door, or that when I say building next door, the construction adjacent to it, there, the people who are part of that complex who has not collapsed yet are going to have actions for theirs as well. I mean, the legal kind of ramifications here are just probably as astronomical as trying to figure out and reassemble the building itself to figure out what happened. Although it sure makes sense based on what Adam is saying here, that theory of the 2018 pitch and the water being kind of the culprit here is probably a pretty good working explanation right now.
So back to California not letting employees of California travel ban at your own expense. What's your take on that?
I don't know that ultimately at the end of the day that is going to be legal or constitutional. I mean, we still are a federation of states. We still have interstate commerce. We still have this idea that we're a collective. And I know that this idea. I like it when we're boycotting something that I don't like. But remember, part of the problem is that can be turned against you as well, whether it's a state or anything or a corporation. When it turns out that it's your ox that's getting gored, I'm always leery of that. And that's the problem with some of these things. Well, I like it. Yeah, obviously, yeah. I like it. I'll give you an example. When California wanted to divest from Turkey for human rights abuses, I'm all for it. But I understand the argument on the other side when it's your ox that's getting gored, when you don't agree.
Well, you know, there's a recent story. So I think what has spawned the travel ban is Florida said, you know, locker rooms, the girls' locker room and the boys' locker room shall remain the girls' and the boys' locker room. And even if you identify as a girl, if you're biologically a boy, you cannot hang out in the girls' locker room. And no sooner did that happen than there was a spa incident out here where I guess someone who just identified as a female but had all the male parts just went in to the girls' locker room and set up camp. And there's footage. Have you seen that, Gary?
I haven't seen that one. The one that I've been delighted with this week is the British influencer who had 17 surgeries to become Korean.
Well, that's probably for another day. But yeah. It's all over the internet. You can probably find it. So it's essentially, and of course this is going to happen. It's happening in prisons. It happens in women's shelters where you know, there's shelters for battered women who've been, you know, raped and abused. And the next thing you know, there's a dude sleeping next to them because the dude said, I'm a chick. And the shelter cannot deny that person because they identify. Unfortunately, like, none of this shit exists in a bubble. That's the problem. It always gets down to this. It always starts off with, you know, what's wrong with a guy who identifies as a woman being asking you to call him Sarah instead of Sam? And you go, nothing's wrong with that. Unfortunately, it leads to the guy walking into the health spa and swinging his dong around the female locker room. And basically, a woman had to leave and came out to the front desk and said, there's a dude in there with his dick hanging out. And of course, it's in California. California is so fucked up that 10 seconds after the travel ban to Florida for this reason, they have some dude in their California spa waving his dick around and scaring the shit out of all the women. Because, of course, it can go no other way. We're wrong 10 minutes after we're right. Here's the footage of it.
We spa, so you don't, so it's okay. I just want to be clear with you. It's okay. It's okay for a man to go into the women's section, show his penis around the other women, young little girls underage. Your spa, we spa, condone that. Is that what you're saying? Like I asked. It's so he can stay there. He can stay there. What sexual orientation? I see a dick. It lets me know he's a man. He's a man. He is a man. He is not no female. He is not a female. He is not a female. Hold on. He is not a female, sweetie. Okay. Girls down there, other women who are highly offended for what they just saw. And you did nothing. Absolutely nothing. In fact, you sided with him. So We Spa is in agreement with men that just say they are a woman and they can go down there with their penis and get into the women's section. Is that what you're saying? What really? What law? What law? So women can go into the men's with their breasts. Okay.
All right.
This should happen. We're not going
to. All right. Well,
by the way,
yeah.
The it's a pretty good cross-examination by the, I assume that was the person who was filming. But you know, the problem, as you say, can go no other way. The problem is, how do you now enforce the, you know, there are sex offender laws, there are exposure laws, things of that nature. Have we repealed those is there a natural repeal of those? I'm old enough to remember having defended people who are charged with exposing themselves. I remember when that was actually an enforced crime. Have we just repealed these laws as well?
Well, what we've done is we've decided that you get to decide what your sex is. And then once you get to decide what your sex is, then what's to stop you and your male junk from going into the female locker room? And then once you go into the female locker room and you expose yourself to females, well, the female locker room is where females go to disrobe, and you're a female.
Yeah, but the I'm just thinking as a practical consequence. If there's some guy who's on the sex offender registry because he exposed himself in a public place. I mean, I can think of how many guys they've arrested over the years for either doing a circle jerk up in Griffith Park or being in Hollywood for years. There was nothing but being in Hollywood. Some guy would be jacking off or doing whatever or just having his junk out in his car. And that would be a misdemeanor arrest. And now that person has been convicted, went to court, somebody pled him. Do you now do a writ of habeas corpus or a deed of corolla and say, Your Honor, my lawyer was ineffective because my lawyer should have asserted as a defense that I identified as a woman, and therefore this was not this wasn't an offensive act?
Well, the spa's private property. You know, the Griffith Park is public property, so that's probably the distinction. But
it's still, you know, public, private property open to the public. You could still, in the, I've had that case where somebody exposed themselves on private property and was prosecuted. So I guess if you pled to something like that, you contact your public defender or your lawyer and get your conviction reversed.
Yeah, well, again, when the state mandates that you have to let people into whatever bathroom they decide they've identified with, then of course this is bound to happen. It's going to happen. It's no different than the fucking dogs at the airport. You know, it started off with, hey, that blind guy needs to travel with his dog. It turned into the Beverly Hills, you know, widow is showing up with too much plastic surgery and five dogs. Once you step back and rely on the honor system, it's fucking Sodom and Gomorrah. And this is why we need laws, everybody. It's the homeless. It's going to be a bunch of naked guys in, you know, girls' locker rooms and high schools. It's dogs at the airport. We no longer can trust people to just have the quiet dignity to be a member of society. Sadly, and unfortunately, if the laws aren't enforced, then this is what we're going to end up with. But in this particular case, the law is letting the guy walk in there and wave his schvanz around. All right, let me hit BetterHelp last but not least. Reasonable Doubt is sponsored by BetterHelp Online Therapy. As we see the light at the end of the COVID tunnel, many are still feeling emotionally out of sorts. You may not feel depressed, but maybe your relationships are suffering, or you're anxious, or you're struggling with your career, or you have trouble sleeping. You need to talk to someone. Visit BetterHelp.com/reasonable doubt. Fill out a questionnaire and help them assess your needs and match you with a professional, licensed therapist. Start communicating in under 48 hours via secure weekly video, phone, or even live chat sessions. It's easy and free to change counselors if you need a better fit. It is BetterHelp, right, Gary?
That's right. Online therapy is convenient and more affordable than in-person therapy. And our listeners get 10% off their first month of online therapy at BetterHelp.com/reasonable doubt. That's BetterHelp.com/reasonable doubt.
All right. Well, I'm about to make my journey to Alaska, but when I land, I'm going straight to Gergis's house to get my party on for the big Sunday wedding. So I look forward to seeing you in the flesh, my friend.
I look forward to it as well, Adam. Safe travels.
Thank you.
And have fun in Alaska.
I will swing by the ATM in Anchorage so I can make it rain during the first dance.
Thank you. Bye, Gary. See you as well.
All right. You want to find me tonight? I'll be in Coots at Anchorage, Alaska, doing live pods and stand up there as well. You can go to AdamCarolla.com for all the live shows, and then you can subscribe to our YouTube channel. It's YouTube.com/reasonable doubt podcast. Until next time, Adam Carolla for Mark Garriga saying mahalo.
Thanks for listening to Reasonable Doubt. Tune in next Saturday for an all-new episode. This is Carolla Digital.